Well, hello and welcome to another Scott McKenna podcast. Thank you so much for being here. I know I start every podcast that way, but I truly appreciate it and I mean it. You could be doing a lot of other things with your time, and I appreciate the fact that you have me in your ears right now. So whether you are on your way to work, whether you are running on the treadmill, whether you're cooking dinner, whatever it is, thanks for your time. Today's episode, I think, is going to be really valuable to the wedding photographer or the wedding videographer who has either been in this business for a while or maybe is brand new to it. This episode features Vanessa Joy. If you are new to this industry, you may have not heard her name yet, but if you've been around for a while, you know that Vanessa Joy is a very, very well-respected and talented wedding photographer. She is the wife of Rob Adams, who owns Rob Adams Films, who I just recently had on this podcast. She has been photographing weddings for a while. She is extremely, extremely talented when it comes to photography, but she also is a genius when it comes to marketing, specifically social media marketing and how to market in this day and age as a photographer. And I think that that's something that so many people just get wrong, and I think they just don't necessarily know where to start or how to start. She's got some tremendous resources that I think would really help you, so make sure you check in the show notes for all the links to the places that she talks about. I really think there's some value that you can learn from her. In this episode, we talk a little bit about the challenge of working videographer and photographer. Why is it so difficult for so many people to get along on a wedding day? Why is it so hard to just stay out of each other's way? And we talk just about how to deal with those things and what we can both do better, whether you're a photographer or a videographer. I think you'll find some very useful things in this episode. So I'm going to jump right into it. As always, connect with me on Twitter at Scott W. McKenna. Tell me what you think of the episode, and I hope you enjoy it. Well, Vanessa, thank you so much for being here today on the podcast. Really appreciate you taking some time. I know you have a sick household right now. Everybody's got the flu. So thanks for stepping away for a few minutes. Hopefully Rob will take care of the rest of it, even though he's one of the ones that's sick. Yeah. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty good. And Rob does a good job when he's sick. He's not like the fall over and die type. So he's pretty good.
Then he's probably unlike most men, because women always say that men, when they have the tiniest little cold, they act like they're dying.
Yes, so yes.
Rob's obviously does a good job with that.
No, well, that's not after awesome. Kids. Not after kids. There's no choice.
I know. You don't get days off. It's absolutely true. When people used to say that, I always didn't really know what that meant until I had them. And then you realize, yes, there is no sort of break.
Yep. Very true.
Well, no, I really appreciate having you on. I think some of the people that obviously listen to this podcast will obviously know who you are. I'm sure a lot of people do. You're very well respected, very, very talented, and kind of the jack of all trades. I think you have more education than anyone I know in this industry, which is why I think you're so good at what you do. And you're also just a practitioner of actually doing the things that you say. So I want to get into all that stuff. But first, I want people to just kind of get a little bit of an idea of how you got to where you're at today. You are a very well-known and respected photographer, as I said, with lots of talents, but it didn't start like that. So can you just kind of sum up your journey to where you're at today?
I can. Well, you know, I do have a lot of education, and that was because I had no idea what I wanted to do. I mean, I knew I always liked photography, but I thought that was something you did on the weekends. I didn't think that was a real job. So I became a Spanish teacher and just did wedding photography on the side, working for somebody else, actually, not even for myself at first. And then I just got so busy that I figured, hey, I'm going to quit this teaching job that I actually don't like at all and go for it and do what I want to do. And I did. And it was so scary. But thankfully, I had my husband, Rob, who was a wedding videographer, and he was already, you know, out on his own in his not real job, right? So I had a good support system and leapt in. I wouldn't say blindly. I definitely planned for it and financially and all those things. And it's just flowed from there. Not always easily. I don't want to make it sound like it's easy. It's not.
No, it definitely isn't. So when you got started in photography, was it immediately into weddings, or did you do, I know obviously you don't do just weddings, and you can touch on that as well, but when you got started, was it kind of you were photographing anything you liked, or did you really specifically start and say, here's what I'm going to do?
I started with wedding photography. You know, okay. It was because I was a photographer, or I'm sorry, my mother was a photographer, and she did weddings and portraits. I really only saw her do the portraits, but that's, I guess, where the passion for photography started. But in high school, I took a photography class, and my high school photography teacher was a wedding photographer, and that's who I ended up working with after I graduated during the weekends.
Always been weddings, and it's been in the family. That's really cool. One of the reasons why I, you know, well, there's lots of reasons I wanted to have you on the podcast, but you have such an interesting perspective on things because you are a very well-respected photographer in the wedding market, and you also are married to a very well-respected videographer in the market. And that connection between you two is so unique because traditionally, and the way that so many people that I see in this industry talk about it, is the videographer and photographer kind of connection on a wedding day is not quite as good as it should be. I see so many people that complain about one or the other, and I think so much of it comes down to communication from the beginning. But I kind of want to talk a little bit about not necessarily your connection specifically with Rob. I think you have an interesting perspective on that. Just kind of some of the stuff that we've been seeing in this industry, as obviously wedding videography has gotten more popular, but photography has always been there. A little bit about this connection and why there's such a disconnect between videographers and photographers so often on a wedding day.
That is a big box to open.
Yes.
You know, when I started weddings, I want to say 15, 18 years ago, there wasn't a lot of video. And I think that mm-hmm. is probably where it started, is just the fact that so many years ago, there wasn't as much video on weddings. And because of that, photographers were just used to running the day how they needed to run the day without anyone to oppose them. And they didn't have to learn to share, you know, there was no kindergarten lesson on that in weddings. Mm-hmm. And when you're used to that, and then you have somebody that you have to share it with, I think there's just friction. And it's not just videographers. I find that friction sometimes when there's wedding planners, because if there's mm-hmm. no wedding planner, then the photographer is the one who does the timeline and keeps things moving and really does a lot of the coordination, at least, you know, in front of the bride on the front end, that a wedding planner would. And then a wedding planner steps in and starts doing the things that you're used to doing. And it's an upheaval, if you will, of your workflow mm-hmm. or what you're used to. Apart from that, just not being something that photographers were always used to, whether that's good or bad, is a completely different story.
So maybe I want to talk from both perspectives for a second. I want to talk first from the photographer perspective of what are some of the things that you think videographers, when working with photographers specifically on a wedding day, could do better, whether it's in communication, whether it's in the way that they work on a day. What are some tips that you could give to help videographers work better with you guys? Because I personally love work with photographers. I love relationships. I love networking. So every photographer I see as like a great opportunity to network and become friends with, because you're in the same business. But so many people don't necessarily look at it that way. And what kind of advice could you give to people? How can videographers work better?
I think it just goes to all the normal things you would do to just be polite to someone. And not, I have to say, I don't have a lot of experience with particularly horrible videographers as far as personalities go. But if I walk into a bride's prep in the morning and the first thing that's out of a videographer's mouth is, hey, can you leave that where it is so I can photograph it or film it after you're done? Oh, that's a great setup. Let me lean over your shoulder and do it. It's like you're immediately taking something from me that's borderline a little right. bit plagiaristic. You know, you probably wouldn't have uh-huh. set it up like this or put it in that light or whatever. I think just remembering, and it goes for photographers too, just remembering that everyone here is human and everyone here is just trying to do their best job so no one gets sued later and you make your clients happy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think that's the important thing, is just to remember that like you're both working for the same client. And, you know, obviously there are some companies that do video and photo, so maybe they look at certain people as competition. But I mean, to me, like photographers are not my competition at all. If anything, they're a huge benefit to me if I can get them to like me and to have a good relationship with them. And so it's always my goal, like outside of the client, the couple on a wedding day, I am doing all I can to make you as a photographer love working with me, because in video, it's the last thing usually that gets booked on a wedding day. So it's only to my benefit if you actually want to work with me versus trying to make it like that I'm competing on a certain time. And I find, and maybe you could touch on this too, I think there are certain parts of a wedding day that come across on video and are very important, and that they're not necessarily as important in photography, meaning that they don't necessarily translate the same way. Speeches, for example, right. something that, you know, only looks a certain way the entire time for a photographer, very vital for video. So I find that where I kind of try to do the best I can is really understanding that there are certain things that are way better for photography that I don't need to touch or step in or change at all what the photographer is doing. And as I do that, and as I give them freedom without being obtrusive in their respects, they give me more leverage of the things that I really need, because it's kind of, they understand that. I mean, does that make sense? Do you feel like that's kind of a good way to approach it?
It does. And even the parts where, you know, both of us need something, like the photo session, for example, I love when videographers say, hey, after you're done with this, do you mind if I do this? And that's great. Right. As opposed to, you know, I don't know, butting in or huffing and puffing behind me or something else. I actually like when videographers take a little bit of control because I need a mental break sometimes. Having to tell everyone what to do, where to go, think of every shot. I mean, I like to lean back and step back and let somebody else direct while I just creatively shoot. So
how do you deal with you get in a situation where you decide, okay, I'm going to let the videographer do their thing, but then you very quickly realize they don't have a clue what they're doing. How do you battle? How do you step in kindly from both perspectives, whether you're a videographer that works with a photographer and clearly you realize they don't, or vice versa? How do you find that balance? I know this isn't an easy question. Yeah. Like, how do you find the balance to get in and sit and nicely say in front of the client, like, that's just not a good thing to do.
You know what it is? That last sentence is exactly what I make sure I don't do. And it makes all the difference in the world. I never say anything in front of the client. I would never want them to not have faith in what any of their professionals are doing because, you know, that's who they chose. That's exactly. Who's already there. We can't do anything about it. So usually I say something in a roundabout way, and it's not meant to be passive aggressive in any way, but just like, oh, that's so much fun. Let's try this next, you know?
Yep.
So great it's point. Just something that flows from it. And that goes for when I'm posing my couples too. Sometimes I'll pose them and they look god awful, but I'm not going to be like, oh, don't do that. You know, that's going to ruin the flow and hurt it. So you just dance around it and move on to the next thing and subtly try to take back, not take back control, but to bring it back to something a little bit more beneficial for everyone.
Yeah, I think that's the key. Is it's not there's never good that comes out of ever, especially in the heart of the day, making the other professional, even if they're not very professional, looking bad on the wedding day. Not only is it terrible for your relationship with them, but it's definitely not a good vibe that sets to the couple because they're kind of like, wait a second,
they can feel it.
They're like they're trashing my vendor, and it could be someone that they have a personal connection with. So definitely, number one advice is to just, I think it's communication. There's ways, like you said, to say things kindly that still get the point across of, let me try this. Let's try this instead. I like that. Oh, let's just try it. It's an easy way to do it. So yeah, number one, definitely communication.
And I think videographers can really relate to that. Just think of any time you've had to go mic a priest and the priest was just instantly nasty to you. Mm-hmm. It happens to photographers too. We walk in and they're instantly barking orders at me. Usually I stop, and this goes for anyone who's, you know, not getting off on the right foot. I stop, I look at them, I say, hello, my name's Vanessa. What's your name?
Right.
And it's a little snarky, but it's like, hey.
Yeah, it makes them almost be like, oh, sorry, that was kind of rude of me to start that
way. Exactly. Like, you don't even know my name and you're acting like this. Are you kidding me? So, yeah.
And you have to realize, you know, I always tell people too, like, some people are so thrown off when, you know, a priest is rude or someone's rude. And you have to understand, like, people have had bad experiences.
Oh, yeah.
So when they come and start that way to you, it doesn't matter how you initially approach them. They right away have a wall up. And so you have to be like empathetic to the fact that they might have had a lot of terrible experiences. And so as soon, you know, by you saying something like that or just having a good conversation, that's the thing. Like, when I go, it's much more like, hey, how are you doing today? How's your day going? I love your, you know, I love the church. It looks beautiful. Even if it doesn't, it's like, hey, how long have you been in this church? It's beautiful. Cool. You know, just trying to set a mood that's like, hey, I'm not here to just mic you up and to make you feel awkward.
Right.
We're working together on this kind of thing, and it definitely helps a lot. But certain times there's nothing you could do about it, and that's just the reality of it. But communication is everything. So I want to go from maybe the other side for a quick second. We might have touched on this already, and if we did, then you might repeat yourself. To the photographers that are listening right now, what is some piece of advice you could give to photographers about maybe working better with videographers? Because I feel like the established ones, every time I've worked with very good photographers, they've never been an issue because they have been around long enough to know, like, when they need to do things and when they don't. I find where I have the issues are the newer people in the industry. So maybe give some tips to the newer photographer who kind of doesn't really know yet what that working relationship is supposed to look like.
So number one goes back to just being human. But secondly, you have to let go of control a little bit. And instead of looking at it as a negative and I'm not getting stuff done that I need to get done, you know, just look at it as a time where you can breathe and regroup and plan your next thing. So let go of the control a little bit and you'll probably find a lot of benefits to that. And then secondly, just look at that videographer as a possible network connection. You know, like you were talking about before, of course you want potential referrals, but you don't know if that videographer is part of a team that's going to connect you with a wedding planner that refers them, or that's going to help refer you another couple. You know, it doesn't always go in that hierarchy of, you know, who you book first. Right. It can go the other way. So just remembering that, you know, you don't know where that relationship can lead and you don't want to get off on the wrong foot yourself.
Yep. I always say that everybody is watching you on a wedding day. That's every single person. The amount of people that reach out, you know, to me that were not a part of the wedding party at all. They just so happen to, you know, see me working and then they like the video. Everybody's watching you.
It's true.
You're not just in front of the client and a photographer. Like, everybody's paying attention. You never know who's in the wedding party, who's a part of the other professionals network. Like you said, it's huge. It just is makes sense to just always act professional. Even if the day is not going as planned, there's no benefit of acting rude or changing the whole tone of how you work.
And here's the other thing. Don't you want to have fun with your job and who you work
exactly.
with? And what, you know, why not? Why set a bad tone? Look at a wedding day. Look at the people you work with as, hey, these are the people I'm working with today. This is who I get to hang out with today. Let's make the best of it. Let's make it fun.
All day. Yeah.
All day.
Okay. So I'm going to jump to a different topic, a topic that I know you're passionate about and I know you're very, very good at. And it's something that way too many people are awful at. And that is the topic of marketing, branding. This whole topic, I feel like people in this industry, especially videographers, just don't understand some of these things. And I really want you to be able to just talk about what you know so well, which is just marketing. That obviously, I'm not even sure specifically where to start, but at the beginning, let's start with the obvious. Why is it so important to market and brand yourself well?
I'll give you the first pat answer because that's how clients find us. And we need to make money, you know, but on top of it, one of the hidden benefits to branding, and I'm big on branding. There's a lot of different ways to brand. I have an ebook called 9 Secret Ways to Brand Your Business, but one of the,
which is fantastic.
Oh, thanks. It's a good one. And it has a lot of things you wouldn't think about in there. But one of the hidden benefits to branding yourself is it sets parameters for your business. And normally they're creative ones, but they're also long-term ones where you have these guides that you've set yourself that help you make decisions in your business. And it's just an added benefit to having a very cohesive brand is it helps you make decisions because creatively, we have infinite decisions and infinite possibilities. So trying to settle yourself into a style, into a client experience, into whatever it is that can define your brand, it's really going to help you out.
And I want to back up for one quick second for the people that kind of are so new to this that they're kind of like, well, what do you mean brand? What's it, what does that actually mean? I know what it means, but maybe just explain a little bit about what you mean by a brand. What do you mean by someone making their company an actual brand?
So a brand traditionally is defined by the logo. I think if you've ever taken a branding class, a traditional branding class, they would tell you to think of a company or look at this logo that's on the screen and you see the Nike swoosh and you think of Nike and you put the Coca-Cola logo up there and then you think of Coca-Cola and everything they make. But branding for small businesses and for creatives is a little bit different. It's so far beyond the logo. It's really the essence of who you are and the type of client experience and really eventually the feeling that you are evoking or passing on to your clients. So it's not just what it looks like. It's traditionally people think of a brand. It's what, you know, your color grading looks like. It's what your website looks like. And it is all those things. But overall, it's so much more the experience that you give to your clients from start to finish.
Awesome. That's a great way to explain it. So what are some of the common mistakes you see a lot of photographers specifically, because that's what you do, make when it comes to branding, when it comes to marketing? What are some big things you see all the time that you just that make you just shake your head?
You know, the number one mistake is laziness. And that might sound harsh, but it is. And it's
the truth.
People who don't realize that this makes a difference in your business, and a large difference. It makes a difference with how many clients you get. It makes a difference with how much you can charge those clients when they do walk through your door. So that's the number one mistake. And then the second biggest mistake are those photographers or creatives that aren't keeping up with marketing trends, because marketing changes. The root of marketing doesn't really change because it's based on psychology, human psychology, but the medium in which we market changes, like social media. Yep. For now, that's the big thing. And that changes all the time and constantly. And you have to keep up to date with that. Otherwise, you're just going to fall behind. Those are the top two mistakes: laziness and not learning and not keeping up to date.
And I think maybe you could touch on this a little bit too, but I feel like a big mistake that I see people make is also not really understanding how important the context of social media is versus, you know, they have a picture they want to post, they have a thought they want to post, and it kind of is one share to all platforms, and that's kind of it. It's a lazy approach of just one post to everywhere.
Yes.
And maybe you could touch on, and maybe agree or disagree, that the context of where you are posting these things is almost more important than the content, because you have to reach people differently. I have a whole different mentality and mindset when I open up Instagram versus when I'm on LinkedIn.
Right.
Like, everything is different. And I feel like so many people don't get that. It's like they're trying to do the same marketing message to 13-year-olds as they would do to 60-year-olds. And that's just not how it works.
It's very true. And before you even go that far, you have to determine where your target demographic is. So
right.
For me, brides, you know, they're on Instagram. Some of them are on Facebook, but mostly they're on Instagram. So
right.
That's where I'm spending really all of my marketing effort time. Not to say that I'm not sharing on other social media,
right.
But it's different. It's not the same.
Yep. And that's a great point. I mean, exactly. You know, brides are typically, yeah, there's some people that get married later in life, but probably the most common bride is 18 to 30 years old,
right?
Or somewhere around there. They're not that much more in the Facebook demographic now, which is a little bit older. So it is so important, where it's not just about, you know, just because you don't like Instagram or you don't like Snapchat. If your audience is there, you better pay attention to it.
Right.
And that's just all it comes down to. So I want to talk a little bit about kind of some tips, I can't even promote enough how good just even that tiny ebook that you released. Actually, it's not too tiny, but it's fantastic.
Hey, 55 That's, pages.
That has There's that has bigger. Nine great yeah, that has nine great tips. But I want to just maybe talk about three. What are three tips you can give to kind of the photographer, videographer, specifically in the wedding market? Maybe some quick tips that you could implement or they could implement right away to kind of just start this idea of branding.
I think first you have to hone in on your style. The hardest thing for creatives to do is to decide on a style, because we're a little moody, I think, creatives, especially visual artists. You know, we see something and that looks like it's going to be bright and airy and whimsical. And then, you know, 10 minutes later, there's something that's dark and moody, and you want to evoke that kind of feeling from it. But when you're trying to sell something to your clients, you have to decide what it is you're selling to them. And it can't be a mishmash smorgasbord of everything. It has to be very intentional. So number one would just be to hone in on your style, whatever it is. And that's difficult. That does not come overnight. You're not going to be like, oh yeah, I think I want this to be my style. And then tomorrow you're all of a sudden going to be producing imagery that has that style on it. So you have to hone in on your style and just choose what it is. And it's not to say you can't expand past it and you can't do anything that's the opposite, but what you're showing on your social media, on your website, should be a very curated selection of imagery or video that is particular to the brand that you're trying to represent, that your company is trying to create. And
I can definitely compliment you too. Like, it's funny because I've followed what you do. I'm not even a photographer, but I, you know, follow you on all the social media platforms. And I've even commented to my wife so many times, like, I'll see it, someone else's photo, and I'll be like, oh, that's so Vanessa Joy-ish. Like, that you are so good at that I can see a picture, and before I even see who posted it, I know it's your picture. And that just compliments, just that, you know, obviously you understand that you're not doing that unintentionally. intentionally. And it is so important though, which is awesome. So just compliments to you that clearly you're obviously practicing what you preach.
Oh, thank you. That's good. That's good to know.
So without question, one place that people better spend their time when it comes to marketing in any aspect of what they do is social media marketing. And it's unbelievable to me how many people think that just because their 16-year-old is on social media that they know social media marketing. And that is not true. I think you'd agree with that. You're great with social media marketing. I want to talk a little bit about that. What does that look like to you? I know you have incredible resources for that. Talk a little bit about what that really means.
So social media, this is where your clients are going to decide if you are a credible business that they can trust. And it sounds stupid that your Instagram is going to be, you know, the judgment of that. But if you go to a social media account and it doesn't look well put together, or someone doesn't post often, you know, what do you think? Oh, you know, they started yesterday, or they're a complete hack. So yeah, even if it's subconsciously, your clients are thinking the same thing. So social media is just wildly important. And I recently did a webinar. You can't watch it live because I already did it, but there is a replay link that I can share with you guys and you can watch it. It's three huge mistakes that you are probably making on social media. And I went much further than three mistakes. I think I gave you like a bazillion. So it's really, really good information and will help get you started with social media. And I do talk about what you should be doing with it, not just what you shouldn't.
There you go. And can you give us a tiny hint what kind of stuff they'll be learning on that?
So they'll be learning little things that will help them not look silly online, because there's some mistakes that are quite obvious to people who know social media. And sometimes I look at people's Instagram or Facebooks and it's like, I can tell you're cheating here. And, you know, so it's, I talk about that. So I nicknamed the webinar, Stop Looking Silly Online.
That's awesome. Well, there's a couple of quick questions that I want to ask. These can be more rapid fire. I wrote on a Facebook group that I was a part of that is all wedding videographers, some questions that they want to ask a photographer that I was about to interview.
Awesome.
So I think these are actually really good ones. The first one actually isn't really photography or videography based. It's in general. And someone said, how do you overcome a creative slump when you're going through a creative slump? I know we've all been through it. How do you overcome it? You're just not feeling creative.
So that's a fine line, because I think as creatives, you have to be a little bit cookie cutter, because you have to deliver what your clients have seen you already do, right? That's why they hired you. So you have to do some of the same things, but you want to be creative. Right now, for me, I am going through a little bit of a creative slump, and I plan on subscribing to some like high fashion magazines like Vanity Fair and Vogue, and
interesting,
pulling out photos and taping them to my wall in the office just to try to break the mold of what I'm typically doing lately.
Yeah, because it can be hard in the wedding industry. You know, if you shoot wedding after wedding after wedding after wedding, you may be really good at what you do, but naturally, to an extent, 90% of every day is fairly similar.
Yeah.
And it can be hard at times, especially I find it really hard when I go and film the same venue.
Yeah.
Because how do I shoot it differently? And, you know, to a point, you don't want to shoot it too differently because you know what you had worked. But then you're kind of like, well, do I even need to shoot it again? I already shot it.
from the
standpoint of that. Yeah. And it's like, you don't want to do that either. But it can be hard. It can be hard if you look at the same thing. And I think that's an awesome idea of signing up for a magazine. And that's, you know, for me, it's very similar. I get the inspiration from watching people that aren't in this industry at all, watching vloggers, watching these different people that do random videos about, you know, their trip, travel videos, just to get you to think differently, because even though it's not your market, it will make your eyes see things differently. So that's a great idea. Great tip. All right. Number two, someone said, what do you talk with couples about preparing for the wedding day, from a photographer?
That's a good one. So 6 to 8 weeks before the wedding, we talk to them about their wedding timeline, about their family photos. We help them make that list of the family photos. And personally, I help them narrow it down as much as possible. And we talk to them about really when, what we're going to photograph and when, and if they have any special requests. Basically just walking through the day to hopefully make sure there are no surprises.
And is that usually done to you in person? Is that over the phone? Kind of what's your philosophy with that?
It used to be in person, and now it's mostly via email. They want to go to a coffee shop, I will go to a coffee shop. If they want to just email my assistant back and forth, by all means, whatever is easiest for them, especially in the months before their wedding when they're going crazy.
Okay, cool. This is another part that I think is cool. What portion of weddings do you photograph now that you do have a videographer working with you compared to how much that changed 5 years ago?
You know, it's about the same, actually.
And what is that percentage to you?
I would say about half the
really?
Time.
Maybe, so it is still that low, huh?
It is fairly low, but that's also might be because I am more expensive.
Right.
So big videographer
they spend all their money.
Yeah, they booked a budget on the photographer and now there's no money for video.
How dare you?
Yeah. And with that, honestly, a lot of times I work with lower end videographers too.
That's true. I get, yeah, if they're kind of putting aside a whole budget for photo and video and they spend 80% of it. That is actually an interesting point. When I said that earlier about that you probably work with higher end, it's probably not the case.
Yeah. Yeah. And
because the higher end ones probably don't work with as good photographers.
Yes. Yes. Very. My husband comes home complaining about the photographers all the time.
Yeah, it's funny because I know, you know, I recently talked to Rob and that's the interesting thing about your dynamic with Rob is that, you know, in a year, you probably don't do very many weddings together because not many people can afford both your services.
Right.
But how many do you do in a year together?
I think this year it was about 25% of our weddings we did together.
Okay. Do you like working together?
I do.
Okay.
And I hate it sometimes too. It depends if you made my coffee right that morning.
That's so funny. Yeah, that's something that's always been interesting because it's like you're working. You know, I used to do the video with my wife. She was the second shooter, but it was never like she was doing the photography, I was doing the video. And that would just kind of be interesting because I know she hated work with me because it was hard for us to separate the idea of like the way that I say this. I'm not trying to be rude, like from a husband wife standpoint. I'm just trying to make sure that the job gets done. And so just when we're on the job, don't look at me at all like your husband.
Right.
Just look at me of I'm going to try my best to be as nice as possible to you.
Right.
But it's not.
But bottom line, we've got stuff to do and get over and do it.
That's right. Well, hey, I really, really appreciate it. I definitely will be putting all the links in the show notes here for the webinar that you have, for the ebooks, all these things you have. You're just a tremendous resource, I know, to so many people. I love just your passion for educating people. I know you and Rob both have been doing that for a while. And I think that people should listen because everyone wants to teach. But if you actually want to learn how to do social media marketing, I think it's important that you look at that person's social media. And you've been doing it great for a while. You have a large following on those places. And I just appreciate you taking a few minutes and just sharing some insight. And if you don't know who Vanessa Joy is, you're missing out on just some great resources and continued success to both of you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you guys taking some time and just awesome having you on. And hopefully everyone will get better at your household and you guys will not have the flu any longer.
I hope so.
Sounds good. Well, thanks, Vanessa, for your time. Really appreciate it. And we will talk very soon.
Great. Thanks.
So I hope you found this episode valuable. Thanks so much to Vanessa for taking some time out of her day. She just is an extremely knowledgeable person when it comes to this stuff. And we didn't even dive into half of obviously what she really knows in this industry. But I encourage you to check out the show notes and all the links to the places that she's at and just follow her. Take a look at what she's doing. It's working very well. And if you pay enough attention, I think you'll gain some great insight as to what you might do better or what you could do better in your branding and in your marketing. I think it's vital. If you want people to know how good you are, you have to get their attention first. And the best way to get it is through social media. So make sure you're paying attention to those things. It's crucial. But as always, I appreciate you being here. And if you have gotten to the end of this podcast, you are special and I appreciate you. Thanks for giving me 35 minutes of your time or however long it's been. You are awesome. Tell me who you are. Would love to connect with you more. My Twitter is @ScottWMcKenna. Say hello. Thanks for being here. Have a good day. Be kind to one another.